ever felt like you're living a double life? One side is all hustle, building your business, your career, chasing success. But on the other hand, there's a nagging voice asking, is there something more? I'm Paul Ryan. I'm an entrepreneur, business owner, and investor, and I know this struggle all too well. But I've also delved into the realms of meditation and self-exploration for almost four decades, seeking that elusive balance between outer success and inner peace. So join me on this journey as we bridge the gap between ambition and fulfillment, uncovering insights from those who've mastered the delicate art of harmonizing prosperity with profound contentment. This is not just another podcast. It's your roadmap to unlocking the true essence of success. So welcome to episode 23 of The Inner Entrepreneur, where I join Michael Gruber on the No Excuses, No BS podcast for a chat about all things life, success, meditation, business, great habits, and everything in between. Let's jump on in.
Welcome, Paul, to the No Excuses, No Bullshit podcast. Glad to have you here. How is it going?
Going very well. Thank you, Michael. And I will try to avoid any excuses and to avoid any bullshit for this session. If I can at all, you feel free to pick me up if I slip up on that.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. First, we could start with a small introduction of yourself. Sure. This would be awesome.
Sure. What would you like to know?
Everything.
Well, I can give you a brief introduction.
Yeah.
And you can jump in and let me know if that's the type of stuff you're interested in. Yes. Or not. I suppose my life has fallen between two facets, the inner world and the outer world. The inner world being a consistent meditator for about 40 years. Meditation is something I've studied for all those times. I've been to India on a number of occasions, and it's just been a passion and obsession of mine for all those decades. And the whole self-exploration has just been huge for me for all of those years. But I've also had a fascination with business and investment and creating some degree of financial independence, of wealth for myself. So both have really driven me all of my life. I think finally I found some balance in it, in the fact that I have two businesses here in Ireland. And thankfully at this point in time, I'm not overly involved in them day to day. I have a management team that run them. So I get to have two businesses that have been there for many decades that give me a very comfortable, financially independent lifestyle, while I have the time to pursue my passions, you know, study, meditation, all the sort of. So I think at this stage of my life, I found a good balance between both. But that maybe gives you some sort of picture of what my drivers are.
That sounds awesome. And you made some really interesting points also with the meditation. How did you get in there, like in the whole meditation thing? And I think it's a very valuable habit, right? I assume you're doing it daily. And also another thing that's really interesting is for many of the listeners, I think, is how did you get to that state, you know, to that state, having two businesses, having that balance? I guess it was it required a lot of work in first place. So also there, I think you were forced to implement some habits in that sense.
Yeah, look, it took a very lot of hard work, and I have to be careful sometimes when you're talking from a point of where you've achieved some degree of freedom in your life, financial freedom and time freedom. And when you've achieved both of those, and that's the lifestyle you have, I think it's important to be careful not to pretend that you fell out of bed and stumbled across those. And they have taken me decades to get to this point. But to take the story back, you asked how I get into meditation. My first experience in meditation, I was 17 years of age. I was in a boys' school, a Christian Brothers school. I don't know if that is a Christian Brothers, like a religious order that teach. And the Christian Brothers, disciplinarians, corporal punishment was a good friend of theirs. They'd no problem giving you a good beating if that's what you needed. This is going back now, I suppose, 40 years ago or more. And so a teacher didn't turn up one day, just 30 of us in class, 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds. It's chaos. It's a bit of craziness going on. And our teacher hasn't turned in. And suddenly the door opens and this Christian brother is standing in the doorway. And he's a terrifying sight. He's head to toe black. He's a young Christian brother and he is not happy with us. And he storms to the top of the room and we're expecting abuse because these are tough guys. I don't know what they're like now, but they're tough. They were tough guys. So he yells at us to keep quiet. We're expecting some troubles coming. And after yelling at us to keep quiet, he tells us all to settle down and he tells us all to close our eyes. We go, what's going on here? Yeah. And what he does for the next about 20 minutes, bizarrely, instead of screaming and shouting at us, he takes us through a guided meditation. This is about 40 odd years ago. I can still see myself sitting in that room, sitting in the desk beside the window on the radiator on the wall and following his instructions. And it was the most amazing thing I'd ever experienced in my life. It was like being dropped into a beautiful warm bath, this energy flowing over my body of peace and surrender and serenity. And it was incredible. It was blissful. It lasted about 20 minutes. And I remember going home that evening thinking, oh my God, that. And I went home and I tried to recreate that experience and I couldn't. And I tried a number of occasions that I just couldn't get back there. And I was fortunate that about a couple of years later, my father, who had a small business at the time, attended a course to deal with his own stress of running a business called the Silver Method of Mind Control. They now just call it the Silver Method because nobody likes the idea of mind control. And he attended that, thought it was great, and paid for myself, my brother, my sister to attend this course over 2 weekends. And on that course, I was back in from the point of view that they spent a lot of time doing visualization and meditation. And I connected back into the place and I went, oh, I'm home. And I knew I'd found my home. And over the past 40 years or so, I have rarely missed a day when I haven't spent some time in meditation. So that's how I was introduced. Impressive. That's how I was introduced. And how I benefit. So how the lucky thing for me in meditation, because a lot of people would say they would like to meditate. I was, if you can imagine, in the first time I ever tried it, I had this blissful, incredible experience. And if you have that, you're hooked, you're an addict for the rest of your life. And most people will maybe spend years or decades to try and experience that. I experienced that the first time. But then I actually had to go back and start from scratch and try and to get back there. And it's a changing state. So, you're in and out. But I had that sweet taste. So I suppose maybe it's like if you're a pauper and you get to spend a day as a millionaire and you go, this is what it's like. And now you really have the incentive and the motivation. So I was lucky that I was an addict. And once I'd found it again, I thought, I'm staying here. I'm living here. And it's a practice of, I've kept with me all of my life.
Awesome.
What was the other question?
Yeah, it was basically, no, I just wanted to say, like, I had a similar experience, but I was doing yoga nidra. And yeah. So the first times it was just like I did it for 10 minutes or so, like just to get used to the whole meditation stuff. And there was one session that lasted for 1 hour, I think. And it was also like yoga nidra is, I think, most of the times guided. And I had a similar experience and I was talking to a friend that is very into the meditation thing. And he was like, people need a lot of years sometimes to get to that state. And I also had a similar experience like you, but currently I'm trying to get back to that state. So it was what the first time, and yeah, now I'm just working my way back to it again.
Well, that's a very similar story to me then. And I think also then some of the years of business in the early years, maybe, and were very difficult, very, very stressful. And I both wanted to be in business because I wanted to make money and I wanted financial independence. And yet it's like inside me, there was a monk and a businessman. And so the monk side of me wanted to spend his life in meditation.
Yeah.
And the businessman wanted to make money. And it was like there was a battle between those two sides. And so I think to some degree, because of that battle, I need to retreat to the meditation. So I'm an introverted heart. So I would be in the office and I have a meditation blanket in the back of my car, which I keep there to this day. Because I would be in the office many years ago. And I would find after a couple of hours, I was just full of tension and I would just walk out. What was my own business. So I would just walk out, could be going to a meeting or whatever. And I would drive around the corner to a local park and I would just get the blanket out, cross it with my knees. And I would just meditate there for half an hour, 45 minutes and return to a camp state and go back to the office. So I was always pulled between both. And I think that friction also, as you well know, is where you how you become stronger as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think meditation is a good tool to come back to a calm state. And I mean, it really really depends in to which extent you are practicing it. But I have found the best time was for me works is, so the time duration that works best for me is between half an hour and 2 hours, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because I need some time to get into it, to really like get off all the thoughts I have from work and stuff. But I think just like way too few people know the power of it.
Yeah, I did a podcast 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
suggesting people take 15 seconds, just 15 seconds every hour to meditate, just to, and it's, I described how to do it. But the idea was to continually remind your brain that there's a calm place to go to, so that your brain has that neural connection of understanding, oh, I can experience 15 seconds of calm or 15 seconds of singular focus. But I think meditation is very, very personal. And because largely my time is my own now, I tend just to meditate and I don't time it. I just sit down to meditate and when I'm finished, I'm finished. And that could be 20 minutes. It could be 45 minutes. It could be an hour. It's whatever it is. But I don't like to encourage people to do that, because I think if you could develop the habit of meditation, if it was for 5 minutes to 10 minutes, you're going to find a benefit to you. So it really comes down to whatever it works, whatever works for you. If people are not familiar with meditation, if it's not the type of thing they think is of use to them, then what I say next is going to sound a strange thing to say, but a teacher said to me years ago, meditation is not something you do. Meditation is who you are.
Yeah, that's
and powerful. So for me, meditation is a returning to my center. And a retreating from the distractions of the world to remind me who I am. So that's what it is for me. But it's a very personal thing.
Yeah, it's definitely sorting the chaos, I would say.
Yeah.
Like that's a good point, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, I regarding the time and the duration, yeah, it's very personal. I had great sessions with 10 minutes.
But the thing about it is that if you have 10 minutes, do 10 minutes. I mean, don't be hung up on the fact that someone else, do you know, I know you're into exercise and fitness, and it's very much the same. If you said to someone, you need to exercise for 60 minutes a day, to go, well, I don't have the time. Yeah. Well, you would be better doing 15 minutes a day.
Yeah, definitely.
Than not doing it at all. So
yes.
And the thing I find, and I would say meditation and exercise are similar from the point of view, is that when you get into it and you say, well, I'm just going to do it for 10 minutes. When you get into it and it begins to nourish you and you begin to feel the benefits, then it will be easier to go, well, I might make it 20 minutes and I might make it a half an hour.
So same exercising.
Exactly. It turns to a point where it's no longer a chore. It's nourishing you. And you go, well, I want to do more of this.
And I think that's the power of habits. Because what I teach my habit devs is also that if when they are at the starting point in developing a habit, you can go with as much as 2 minutes, you know, or 1 minute or two minutes. It really depends on the habit, but for exercising, if you start with 10 minutes, that's fine. Give your muscles some contraction and it will grow. And that's the same with the focus you need to have for the meditation to sort out the chaos and all the thoughts. I think I started even with 2 or 3 minutes. I think I started with breath work first.
Yeah.
So just breath work. And then I started with yoga nidra. And now I do both. It's funny that you mentioned this with the 15 seconds each hour. So what I do is most of the times 3 minutes of breathing. So every hour I have a timer and then I just use 3 or 5 minutes for breathing.
And if you can get in 3 or 5 minutes every hour, that's amazing. What I was trying to do is just suggest to people that something as simple as picking up a pen and holding it, and for 15 seconds, allow that pen to absorb your entire attention and be with that pen for 15 seconds, because a stillness will come to your mind even for 15 seconds. And if you do that repeatedly, it has a great impact. Something I do if I'm standing in a queue in a bank or something, or you're queuing for a coffee or whatever, is I notice the weight on my feet. Now, I use a stand-up desk, but I normally don't notice I'm standing. But I bring my attention and I feel the weight in my feet. Or if you're sitting down, you can feel the weight of your body. You go, oh yeah, I did. All day long, I haven't noticed the weight in my feet. Bring your attention to that weight and leave your attention there for 15 seconds. And it relaxes you. But I think what I'm trying to introduce to people here is that there is this focus of attention. It is calming. It is training your brain it's rewiring your brain to calm, to find a place of calm. And it becomes a familiar home. And you have the chaos, but you now have something else. Whereas most people just have the busyness and they just have the chaos. And what I'm trying to present is, if you had time to experience something else, now when chaos emerges in your life, then part of your brain would remember, but there also was quiet. Okay.
Yeah, there's
quiet is a choice also.
There's something you can fall back on. Mm. So that's what
that's it. Yeah.
That's also something that's for me, meditation and breath work, but also the workouts. You know, I'm not working out to shape my physical appearance. Mm. Like, of course, that's a nice effect too, but the mental benefits for me, that's the thing I'm going for. So when I'm also working a lot, but I know when it's workout time or when it's meditation time, that's my time. So all the chaos, like, let's push it on the side for a while and really focus on that thing. And so meditation and physical activities are really helpful for that, in my opinion.
I think also as you get older, like when you're in your 30s, 40s, maybe, you know, in many ways you can get away without exercise. You're still young. As you get older, as you get in your late 40s, and I'm now in my late 50s, like, you're losing juice. You know what I mean? It's now, what reserves do you have? And if you've had a habit for many years of training, strength training and aerobic training, and you've maintained that, then it's natural and normal for me to maintain that. It's part of almost every day of the week that I'm doing some form of exercise and a stretching routine as well. So that becomes a habit. And then also it's programming my mind. My mind has an expectation for decades to come. Once a year, I do a trip away to Europe with about a group of about 30 of us. And we've been doing this for a number of years. And we pick a different destination, and we have two vans come with us, and we have guides, and they basically take us on this trip, cycling trip. So we could do 100, 140K a day, a lot of climbing and all these sort of things. And they're around my age group, some are older, but we've been doing this for about 7 or 8 years now. And it requires a lot of fitness to go out and do this for 5 days in a row, consistently day after day. But what I find is among the group, there is this expectation that we will be doing this for years and years and years to come, because we're going, I can do it now. I'm stronger than I was 5 years ago. Why wouldn't I be doing it? I think that for me, that's a much better peer group than a peer group of people in their late 50s who are getting overweight, who are slowing down or thinking, I'm getting old. Bullshit, you're not moving. You know, you're not pushing you're not pushing yourself. Age will come to us all, but, you know, it doesn't need to come too soon.
Yeah, definitely. And that's really inspiring, like that you worked out for so many years and the meditation, like your habit streak is way bigger than than my streaks now. But I'm also in a good way. But that's very impressive.
Well, I've just been longer on the planet than you have. So
yeah, that's true. That's true.
I had a head start, but I think fortunately, I think I realized quite young that there were some simple things that just seemed to work in life and made sense. And as I was driving earlier and I was listening to a podcast and there was a health expert on, and the podcast host was asking him about supplements and these sort of things. And the guy said to him, he said, well, I can talk to you about supplements and that's fine. He said, but look, at the end of the day, there are the basics, and the basics are exercise, good nutrition, sleep, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, if you're not getting the basics right, then the other things are going to do nothing for you. They're a complete waste of time. He said, if you want to get all those basics right, and if you consistently do all of those things, he said, and now you want to tweak it and you want the extra 10%, we can look at the supplements and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a really good answer, because I suppose that has been my experience, I think. And maybe I realized that in my mid-20s or something, that there were some things that you get mocked for doing, certainly in the 80s, you know, for taking care of your health. Meditation, I still am a vegetarian, but it's like, are you crazy? So all of these things that were certainly very, very weird to be doing in the 80s, investing, all of these things that were just crazy. What are you at? Relax, go have a good time. I look at my life now and I go, yeah, but I've just built some amazing benefits that I am reaping the rewards of now. And I look at other people my age and goes, you wasted those years. You wasted, you thought it was cool to go out and get drunk all the time. And you thought that was cool, man. You were wasting your freaking life. You were wasting it. And now I see those people and I go, you're in a mess. And a few things I've noticed. One is that physically, by the time you get to your late 50s, if you're in a physical mess, it becomes harder to sort it out. But one thing, because finance is an important part of what I talk about as well. And if you're in a financial mess, by the time you're reaching your late 50s, early 60s, the ship has sailed for you. You're never getting the back. But if when you're in your early 20s or 30s, if you begin to get all this shit sorted out, and through meditation, through exercise, through healthy diet, through just some self-reflection, some learning, also if you start investing at a very young age, you're going to compound all of these things. And now you're going to compound all these things, but you're going to see very little benefit. And it's a little bit me telling you to start investing tomorrow. Well, I've noticed nothing. You might even come back in 10 years time and go, what's the big deal, Paul? Mm-hmm. You come back to me in 25 years time, 30 years time, and you go, whoa, I'm so glad. I have three adult sons, and I've gotten the three of them into this. And it is wonderful when they're very young to see the penny drop on why they should start investing their money in their late teens and 20s. I don't know what stage they'll really realize the gift they've been given in learning that, but I know when they get to my age, because my age, I witness what it's like to live with financial freedom and time freedom. And I notice that most people around me don't have that, and they could have had that, but they might've had to start 30 years ago, and people aren't willing to do that.
That's a thing, because most people go for the instant gratification. Like, it's about the now, and they don't think about the years that come, like partying too much, spending all their money, they don't work on themselves. But you are the best example why you should do it.
And that's the thing about the searching for the now, and this comes back to meditation. This is my personal belief, and that's all it is.
Paul, I just need to watch the clock. We just have 1 minute left.
Okay. So, well, then you bring it to a wrap up in your own way.
Yeah. So I think we really need to continue this in another call, because like there were so many insights, and it was really, I think that's really, really helpful for a lot of people out there.
Cool.
So maybe we can continue in another call. This would
Let's
be awesome. Maybe in a few weeks. And thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
And have a nice day, Paul.
You too. Take care. Bye. Good luck. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, please do subscribe, share on social media, tell your friends about it, or leave a comment. It all helps us grow the show and share our message. Thank you for listening. See you on the next episode of The Inner Entrepreneur. Take care.